Support for the Radio West podcast comes from Harmon's Grocery, committed to excellent service and friendly smiles. Your food is our passion.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. So one of the things that's been difficult to convey about the massive data center campus proposed for Box Elder County is the place itself. There's been plenty of talk about scale. That's been one of the things that's gotten most people's attention. The project was originally approved across some 40,000 acres of remote desert land north of the Great Salt Lake. But for all the debate, it's been hard to get a sense of the actual space where Kevin O'Leary and his partners want to build. It is way out there. It's a long drive on dirt and gravel roads. Most Utahns will never see it for themselves, which is exactly why Megan Banta of the Salt Lake Tribune made the trip this week. Banta wanted to see the site firsthand. And she also wanted to talk with some of the people who live and work and own property nearby. Her reporting comes at this moment when the project seems to be entering a new phase. Opponents have organized a referendum effort to stop the development. There's also this lawsuit that's challenged the authority of MIDA. That's the organization that approved the project. And after weeks of public backlash, O'Leary has said he's going to reduce the project from its original size. So we talked to Megan Banta this week about what she saw up there. We also asked her to catch us up on this story that's been moving so fast. At first, despite the uproar, it looked like the project was headed in one direction. So either the momentum is shifting or the project is still going forward, just in a different form.
So I'd been up to Box Elder County, but I hadn't been to the more remote parts just to kind of get a sense of place. Like, where would this data center, where would these buildings, where would these solar arrays, where would they actually go? You know, are there paved roads out there to get there? How would people get to work for these, you know, 2,000 permanent jobs, supposedly? And trying to then pass on that sense of place to others.
Okay, so we're here on the very northern tip of Great Salt Lake.
So I went with Rhonda Laritzen.
This used to be the shoreline.
Her family business owns some property up there.
The shore, the water has just been receding out farther and farther and farther. So this line right
here. We drove from Locomotive Springs about a mile north to the portion that's now been at least temporarily removed from the data center project area, but is still part of the state's project area through the Military Installation Development Authority. She kind of describes it best.
This is the mythical American West. It's wide open spaces. It's clean air. And can you smell that right now? It just smells wonderful. It's birds and open range. And it's that kind of open space that you don't find other places in the world. And once it's gone forever.
Sagebrush growing from the gravel road all the way up to these rolling hills, the Promontory Peninsula, and a lot of natural springs with birds just flying around and water kind of bubbling up and salt on the side of the road from where it's receded. Very particular grasses that seem like they would only grow in that environment.
If I were my dad, I would whistle to the meadowlarks and they'd call back. It was one of my favorite things.
It was kind of eerie at some points, like a plane flew overhead and I was like, oh yeah, civilization. Because you mostly hear birdsong and like crickets or locusts or the water bubbling.
It's just beautiful out here. It's pristine. It's clean. The brines are in really great shape. It's just really pristine.
And you're kind of standing there thinking, what if there were solar panels here? It would look vastly different from what it does now, I think.
How do they think their lives will be changed if this thing goes through?
We don't want to be in the middle of an international controversy.
They're pretty protective of the land.
I just feel like we have a duty. My feet are planted on this land. Standing literally here means we have legal standing.
They want to keep that wide open space. I think if they wanted to live close to a bunch of buildings and a bunch of jobs. They would live on the Wasatch Front. Like, they want to be ranchers. They want to be farmers. They want to have that, you know, more relaxed life and be able to go out to these big spaces. And the whole idea is kind of taking away this sense of that mythical American West.
We're all defending our home. And so it doesn't matter where someone falls on the political spectrum or whether they're more environmentally conscious, we're all in this fight together.
Do they think this is going to happen?
You know, the county commissioners have said they thought it was a foregone conclusion. The way it kind of came out of nowhere, I think, it really surprised people and made people feel angry that they weren't, you know, consulted about this thing that's going to change the landscape in a big way. I mean, Rhonda said during a forum that she didn't even go to the vote because she was just, like, crying on her couch at home. She was so sad. And then the referendum came around, the protests came around, and seeing people kind of organize who do not necessarily agree on other things politically has given her and others a lot of hope.
Megan, what do you think the story is about?
I mean, you know, it started as the story about a massive data center project, and I think it's turned into a story about, you know, how we as Utahans, as Americans too, you know, there's resistance to these across the country, how we feel about AI and about, you know, not a data center that handles me sending you an email, but a data center that's training AI to do something that could potentially take away someone's job and, you know, maybe create another job in the process, but, you know, not one that necessarily someone with, like, menial labor skills could do. And just how people kind of band together, especially after the last few years of, you know, the political rhetoric being so heated across the aisle, and have found some common ground.
Let's back up for a minute and talk a little bit about what you understand about how the data center project came to be. Where do you peg the beginning? Who reaches out to who, and what do you understand about how this all starts?
Yeah, we've heard a couple various versions of events and rumors and everything, but the sense seems to be that someone on some military-related side, defense-related, reached out and said, hey, you know, there's this data center project that we want to do. We know that, you know, Kevin O'Leary met with the governor in, you know, December or sometime over the winter, a few months before this came to a vote. There's conversations behind closed doors based on us talking with Kevin O'Leary. He chats with Governor Cox, with Mike Schultz, with Stuart Adams. They come to a deal. And then that deal
goes. Like, what kind of a deal? Like a shake hands deal or a nudge yet? Or
like a handshake deal,
handshake.
Basically.
Yeah.
And then they take it to MIDA, you know, to make everything official, get this project area going, get the plans started so they can actually start on permits and everything. But there, yeah, we haven't pinned down exactly quite when the conversation started, but there are some press releases from, I think, February, where they're talking about this Wonder Valley, Utah. And then, you know, that's still 2 months before this even goes to MIDA.
But it gives you a sense of the what the expectations were from state leaders. I guess this is an obvious or naive question. They didn't expect it was going to have the reaction it did, I guess.
I would think not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think they thought, you know, we'll have MIDA do this. MIDA has done other projects before that have not gotten this massive blowback. Like the new Inn at Sundance and helping with the Deer Valley East, you know, expansion and Falcon Hill at Hill Air Force Base are all things that people, like, you know, people weren't up in arms about those things.
And we have data centers in this state. We have
More
than 40 of them. There's one that we'll talk about a little bit later in Millard County that's potentially bigger than the Box Elder County one, at least the way it was proposed.
Yeah.
So I guess they could be forgiven for not thinking anyone would say anything, maybe.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's been kind of a national uprising against data centers, particularly AI data centers,
yeah.
but there hadn't been like a statewide, any kind of statewide opposition here that we'd seen at least.
Right. Let's talk about some of the players in the story and how they've reacted, how in some cases they've evolved or changed their minds once the public erupted. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Stuart Adams. Tell us about the role he's played in this story.
So he's you know, been involved in discussions since the beginning based on our chats with Kevin O'Leary, but also serves as the chair of the board for MIDA that approved the project area plan that kind of gets this all really rolling.
Right.
And
so he's on board for 9 gigawatts in the
– Correct.
The massive scale, yeah.
For – yeah, at least starting with kind of like a first phase,
right.
getting it going, you know, and then maybe if there's some opposition, kind of refiguring that out later. But definitely for okaying the massive scale of the project area plan that could potentially then become this gigantic data center campus.
There was some question about whether or not Adams had a personal interest in this because he owned property nearby, or – I mean, there were these all kinds of questions. What do we understand about his interest in that project beyond it just being an economic project for the state?
Yeah, there's a couple of different things. So Senator Stevenson, who's the vice chair, actually –
This is Jerry Stevenson.
Yeah, Jerry Stevenson. And is he and then House Speaker Mike Schultz – they own some property that's, you know, by as the crow flies, technically close, but you've got mountain ranges between there. Like driving to these properties is not necessarily close. I had not heard about Adams necessarily having property close, but he did get some donations after from groups that had some connections to MIDA. Those were all connected to the Deer Valley East expansion and like the Jordanelle stuff. You know, I'm sure related to wanting him to stay in power, stay on the board of MIDA, but not necessarily related to the Stratos project.
Do we know anything about his relationship, if you can call it that, with Kevin O'Leary?
Not a whole lot. You know, it seems that they've talked quite a bit. Kevin O'Leary has described him, you know, as a partner in all of this, or at least did until somewhat recently.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they clearly had talked a lot and, you know, had come to agreements and kind of were on the same page.
But then it begins to dawn on Stuart Adams that this could affect him politically. That's one part of this, I guess. And he's seeing this massive public reaction to it. And it's not just a bunch of libs.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people who are reacting to this who are – and aligned with him politically. So talk about what happens then.
Yeah, so he's facing a challenge in the primary.
Yeah.
And, you know, one that he's actually taking seriously even before this, I think. And, you know, he's kind of seeing, oh, maybe this isn't – maybe this is not what my constituents want. Hmm. So he sends a letter to Kevin O'Leary making a bunch of demands. The biggest is to reduce the project area from 40,000 acres to 10,000 acres.
Right.
And then there are some other things related to the environment, sending any excess water to the Great Salt Lake, using heat capturing technology, a lot of stuff that O'Leary tells us he would have had to do anyway to get permits or that he's definitely willing to do. But he called the demand for, and he calls it a 75% haircut. Must be a real estate term.
but I guess we should say that we should just take note of the fact that Senator Adams, President Adams, mm-hmm. is all in when this thing is initially proposed.
Yeah.
Doesn't say anything about heat capturing technology then.
No.
Doesn't say anything about maybe this is too big. Is it fair to say it's only when he thinks his political life is threatened that he starts to have a conscience about the data center, at least that part of it?
I mean, perhaps. You know, he's also said in statements that this is him listening to the voters and seeing it's what they don't want and trying to get them a better deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of believe what you want. We've heard rumors of all sorts about why he did what he did. So,
what's Kevin O'Leary's reaction? Because he's pissed.
Yes.
Basically, just no, the right
he,
way to say
he used those words. He used that exact word. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he tells us that this demand to cut the project area by that much is outrageous. You know, he said it got emailed or faxed. It came off an inkjet printer. There was like a little blot around that area. He thought it was 25%, like a typo. Mm. And then someone told him, no, it's 75%. And he was like, well, I puked in my mouth a little bit. You know, it wasn't great. Yeah. His phone's blowing up with people, investors, and potential clients asking him what in the heck is going on. Like, this was not what we thought was happening. How are you going to fix this? How does this affect us? Mm-hmm. And he kind of takes a little bit of time. He chats with his engineers.
But he also thinks he's been screwed by Stuart Adams.
Yeah, and he does think that it is Adams working alone, that, you know, Cox and Schultz know nothing about this.
Yeah.
He tells us he doesn't see any reason for it other than politics and just the political backlash, because he's not sure why else this would happen.
Yeah. So he's initially furious.
Yes.
But then he, I guess, what, takes a step back, starts to think about it.
Talks with his team.
Yeah.
I think they kind of – maybe they talk him down a little bit. He told us he was still working on his anger management before he reached out to Adams.
Yeah.
But kind of during the conversation with us too goes, you know, maybe the silver lining is we learned that we came about this the wrong way. You know, we didn't try to get the public on board. You know, we didn't explain all of this in advance, and, you know, then all this misinformation – you know, debatable about how much of it is misinformation, how much is a lack of information is circulating, and people are all up in arms. So maybe we can learn from this how to approach projects in the future. And, you know, says he's chatting with his engineers, his designers. They're seeing what they can do, if they can do like a scaled back version and still keep everybody happy, including these hyperscale clients.
And can he?
I mean, he seems to think he can, because he then cuts the project area. He cuts the area that's just north of Locomotive Springs. He cuts that out of the project area, at least his. It's still in Midas. And it does tell us, you know, there was some hope to maybe put some solar panels over there. This isn't going to be the largest data center in the world anymore. We, you know, it was initially planned for maybe 10,000 acres. Now you have 20,000 acres to work with instead of 40,000. You have to have space between buildings. But he did say, you know, he told us the clients are okay with it.
Hmm.
And, like, they're prepared to move forward with the smaller scale project area.
So he's deflated.
Yes.
It's not going to be the grandiose thing that he thought, maybe. Mm-hmm. But he's still in.
Yes. And he's still not necessarily happy with how it was handled.
Yeah.
But is, you know, just trying to, you know, he told us, you know, he doesn't back away from deals. It's just not who he is.
Right.
Trying to just do what he can.
There's this question. I want to be careful with this because it hasn't been corroborated, but it's something that's out there that I want to just at least ask about, because I know you wondered as well.
Yeah.
There was some question about whether or not this spat – between President Adams and Kevin O'Leary was kind of orchestrated, that it was performative. It was a performance to sort of, I guess, assuage the sort of public backlash in some way. And I don't know. What do you make of that idea?
Yeah, we've heard rumors that, you know, it's orchestrated to let Adams kind of come in and be the savior and get this down to a smaller project. And we asked Kevin O'Leary that in a, you know, a somewhat direct but also gentle way. And he said, you know, this isn't how I do business, you know, not getting a letter that goes out to the public at the same time that it goes to him. And he would have liked the chance to talk about it with Adams first, or, you know, and maybe Schultz and Cox, and kind of like come to that new agreement behind closed doors, so he told us.
Support for the Radio West podcast comes from Harmon's Grocery, committed to excellent service and friendly smiles. Your food is our passion.
Let me ask about another player, and that's Governor Cox. Mm-hmm. What do you make of the role that he's played? I mean, he was initially gung-ho, too.
Yeah.
He was pretty testy at a notorious press conference that he gave, where he sort of scolded people for, like, not building stuff. And he was irritated that this needs to move forward and has said that it's not going to really affect the lake and people are overreacting to some of the science, those kinds of things. Then he seems to have kind of equivocated. I don't know. Where is he? And what do you make of where the governor's been on all of this?
Yeah. I haven't talked with him or, you know, read his letters or anything quite as much. But it seems like, you know, he was sold on this project through his Office of Economic, back to development now instead of opportunity. So through the governor's Office of Economic Development.
Who's on the board?
Correct.
MIDA, right?
Yeah. A non-voting member.
Yes.
You know, one of their goals through this new 10-year plan they've come up with is to get more things like AI, like data centers, developments that help move technology forward, bring more jobs.
Maybe nuclear energy could fuel these things.
Correct. Maybe.
Right? I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah. All kind of.
He has a vision.
Yes, exactly. For like how we move the state forward and keep it relevant.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he was sold on it, and then he realized, oh, people are not on board with this, and, you know, maybe kind of took a step back and looked at why people were concerned, and, you know, this study about how much heat energy it could put out, which, you know, till that is admittedly a back-of-the-envelope calculation, could be a lot higher than it is, but, you know, maybe I think there just wasn't a lot of information about how this would actually affect the Hansel Valley and the area above Locomotive Springs and the lake itself. And I think as concerns started to pop forward, one of his big goals is, you know, making sure that the lake doesn't just keep receding, because without the lake, the entire valley is it isn't the way, like, people can't live here the same way we do now.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he takes a step back. He says, you know, uses his disagree better kind of, oh, I didn't think about this before I spoke. Here's me taking a step back. We're going to take a really deep look at this and what it could do and make sure that other similar data centers don't maybe do the same thing.
I think one of the things that has really come up is, I don't know how many of us knew what MIDA was before all of this. Like, what is that thing? And now people are like, wait a minute, what is that thing? Mm-hmm. And how does it work? And how should it work? And that gets us to this lawsuit from the Alliance for a Better Utah and these five anonymous residents who filed it earlier this month in their district court. And basically, tell us a little bit about it. Basically, they're challenging whether or not MIDA itself should even be involved, or there should be a thing, whether it's even, I guess, what, constitutional?
Yeah, so kind of three parts. I think the bigger overarching thing is they're asking a judge to say that the law that created MIDA, and that's been amended many times since to give that board and the authority overall more power over what it does within its product areas, how it can spend money, that should be declared unconstitutional, largely because they're appointed people. They are not elected, and they effectively function as a local government within those project areas unless they cede that authority. So they take over land use. And I think local control being like a big conservative viewpoint is probably why a lot of the people in Box Elder are so ticked off about this, because it completely takes away that local control.
Isn't that interesting? There's a kind of an ideological part to this, that it's, you know, it's a conservative idea that government is best when it's local.
Yeah.
And that's influencing a story like this.
Yeah, because I think, you know, to your point, there's other data centers across the state, but, you know, people in Box Elder want to make sure it works for them.
Yeah.
That, you know, if something like this were to happen, that they have a say. And I think that's part of why they take such issue with MIDA just coming in and taking over. Even if the county commissioners, you know, through this agreement were able to negotiate some local protections, they still then cede their authority to do anything after that.
Yeah.
And, you know, another part of this is that they've named Adams and Jerry Stevenson individually right. as well.
They're defendants.
They are.
Yeah.
And they're named that because as elected officials, they also think they shouldn't also be able to serve on MITA's board. Something about it's something in the Constitution about like not holding these positions where you have this authority at the same time and just avoiding that conflict of interest.
I think the idea one of the critical ideas for the lawsuit seems to be whether or not this can be – these decisions can be made by people who aren't accountable to
right. –
to voters. And the attorney for the plaintiff said that he said the lawsuit is about this question. Let me read it. He said, do Utah residents have the right to be governed by elected officials who are accountable to them?
Right. Yeah. The entire argument being that with MITA being an appointed board coming in and taking over local control, they're taking away people's ability to direct democracy, to say if okay, you all made this decision about this project area plan. We don't like that. We're going to vote you out. Hmm. They can't do that.
Yeah. I want to ask about what effect you think this is going to have on other places in the state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, public pressure is working, like in Iron County, for example.
Yeah.
There's been a pushback and a reaction to that, to a data center there, of course. But then you have Millard County, which is another really interesting part of this. Millard County has become one of the biggest sort of emerging AI hyperscale, you know, data center hubs in the United States. There's one. This is by this company, Creekstone Energy. It's been called the Delta Gigasite because it's near Delta. And its power scale is up to 10 gigawatts. At full build out.
Mm-hmm.
The Box Elder, no, to put that in perspective, the Box Elder one is 9 gigawatts. So this is even bigger than that. So that's one. And there's also this other one near Fillmore, and it's 4 gigawatts. So it's also really, really big. It's like
would need
not,
to be an AI data center, yeah.
Right, right. And those seem to be moving forward. So you have public pressure pushing back on some that's where it's not. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I don't know as much about those other data centers. It could be down to the process. It could just be down to the people in that area and how those areas have been a little bit more developed than plopping someone in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Process seems important though, right? People don't want this just to be dropped on their doorstep. They want to have some kind of say.
They do, which is, you know, how the referendum popped up.
Right.
And at least trying to give people to have a say in it and whether they want it or not. And I do think, I mean, the public pressure, as you said, has worked. Iron County did, you know, the moratorium for 6 months and I believe 6 months. And I just heard that Hooper is considering a moratorium. Mm. Box Elder County will consider a 180-day moratorium. And just kind of taking a pause to say, okay, how do we do this? Is this right? But not, you know, not every area of the state is looking at it that same way.
Yeah. All right, so where do you think we are with this Box Elder hyperscale data center?
Yeah.
O'Leary is changing the footprint, but is he changing the actual function of the data center? Is he actually scaling it back? I mean, he's agreed to certain things. He's agreed to a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Natural Resources.
Yeah.
He's agreed to incorporate that heat capture technology. Made some concessions. He's agreed to a few things, but mm-hmm. but is he really making it? Is it really going to be all that different or smaller?
Yeah.
Do we know?
We won't know for sure until we see the new plans. But he's said all along that it was never going to cover the entire 40,000 acres. He said that. You know, he told that to Tucker Carlson. He said that on Fox News.
Yeah.
He's told us that. So it's hard to tell how much this actually changes the footprint of the data center buildings. It does stand to reason that if you were going to have solar panels over north of Locomotive Springs, they now have to move here. You've got to make some things a little bit smaller to make room for some power generation potentially. but we won't know until they do the designs. And they do have to get those finalized before they apply for permits, which he told us is the next step in what they're working on.
I guess, though, when it comes right down to it, if they scale back the sort of size of it, there's still a big data center that needs to be cooled by something, right? There's going to be water here that's going to cool a big thing.
Yeah.
That's still a reality.
Yeah. And they initially had looked up pulling water from the Salt Wells Spring Stream, which one of the places we stopped and saw where you, like, the water's bubbling up, and I was surprised by the plane, was the Salt Wells, that wildlife area. And that's one of the ones that got withdrawn. They've said they're going to look for water in other places, but I think there's still – we know a lot more now about how the aquifer connects to the lake and that the lake isn't just fed from streams but also from underneath. So I think there's still going to be concerns over how this affects the lake, even if it's using less water, because – being out there right now, there was not active irrigation for alfalfa that we saw either north of Locomotive Springs or driving back towards Snowville through the Hansel Valley. Like I said, it was a lot of sagebrush and a lot of cattle grazing. So it's not clear how much water is actually being used out there right now versus how much would be used.
It's probably too early to ask this question, but... if you could guess, is this project going to go forward?
I don't know. You know, it for me, it depends on whether the referendum ends up going to the voters, because people in Box Elder County are pretty up in arms about this. And I at least don't see a situation where they change their minds, at least dramatically. So I think it comes down to, you know, whether it's an appeals panel or a judge or ultimately the Supreme Court allows the referendum to get to the voters and to let them have a say.
Megan Banta, thank you.
Yeah, happy to be here.
That's Megan Banta. We have a link to her story at the Salt Lake Tribune on our website, radiowest.org. Radio West is a production of KUER, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Tim Slover. I'm Doug Fabrizio.
Support for Radio West comes from listeners like you. Become a member at KUER.org.